Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Welcome to Jailhouse Recovery. This is something special, something new, something different. We don't believe it's ever been done before by anybody anywhere to go into a county jail and to do a podcast with the inmates. Today, we're at the Jay County. I've always got to look at my notes on this because I mess it up every time. The Jay County Security Center and Jail in Portland, Indiana. We're speaking with some of the inmates of their story, their struggles, their experiences in life, their victories, and what it's going to take for them to move forward. This is part number 5 of our Jailhouse Recovery. It's going to be about a 6-7 hour binge time. We're done here, and we hope you'll tune in for each part. Thank you for listening to this one. We welcome you aboard. Subscribe, like, get involved. Let us have your questions, your comments. This going out live gives you the opportunity to participate, and we'll get on those right away. Our guest comes to us today from Texas. That's a bit of a ride from here. James Gabeau. Is that the correct pronunciation, James?
Yes, sir. It sure is.
All right. Go ahead. Respond to the question I just asked him a minute ago. Tell our listeners your heritage because it interests me, and I like those cultures.
I'm a little bit of a mutt, as you could say, I guess, because I'm French, Indian, and I'm also Cajun. I'm from a southern down south, Dallas, Texas, born and raised.
All right. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. James, why are you willing to have a seat here today and expose yourself in this way? What's it mean to you? Tell us.
It took a long time to really take this second in my life, actually really to even come forth about my background, my past, or anything that's led up to this moment. Betty Jean is the main reason why I'm really sitting here doing this. I've been told that I need to tell my story. I just ain't looked for the confidence to do it, but I'm taking this opportunity now.
Well, thank you for being willing to do that. We look forward to what you've got to say. And by all means, if I miss out on something, you go ahead and bring it up.
Yes, sir.
Insert it in there, all right? Where's your battle begin, James? Let's go back early in life, wherever, however old you may have been.
12 years old. I'm 38 now, but 12 years old is where it really started because I couldn't find my foundation. The love, family choices were up and down. I chose to live the fast life, following in my father's footsteps. God rest his soul, but he was the reason why I kind of am who I am today, even though between the struggle of feeling the love and the strong side of, you know, discipline was really a little outstanding, but it's really where it settled me to be more humble now, I guess.
Tell us what the fast life means to you. Define it from your experience.
Well, in Texas, there's a, you know, fast lane for death row as well. Unfortunately, I didn't meet that, and thank God. But I took a big step in following some things, as most dealers would do, or just finding my way, which was always the wrong way because it was always watching everybody else do what they were doing. So I thought that was the opportunity, being misled. You know, I kind of misled myself, so I can't really blame my family because I knew right from wrong from a long time. So,
yeah. What did it look like early on, James? How, you know, script that for us, please.
Well, from the age of 12 is really when I started using methamphetamines. It was real hardcore down there, you know, and in my family it was really something that took a big step of really just draining you of everything in life. You just kind of just took it in for what it was worth, what everybody else was doing. So I felt like not really obligated, but I put myself in that position just to allow it to overtake me. And it was just a destruction path, straight destruction, tornado, Texas tornado loose.
Destroying everything in its path, including you.
Well, I ended up in Texas Boys School, Youth Commission at the age of 12. So I was in and out of foster homes, in and out of being locked up in Youth Commission until I was 17 when I caught my first possession charge. Actually, I got caught with an 8-ball inside a correctional facility, and it kind of took me downhill from there. You know, my first 4 years I did in Texas prison, came home. Before I was 21, and my father had passed. Meantime, it was kind of really a struggle trying to find myself. I didn't love myself. I loved everything about life, but not myself. You know, I wasn't as hungry for life like I am now.
Yeah, yeah. What is it that's brought you to that point of being hungry for life now?
Yeah, you know, like I tell everybody else, life is, it's not just a choice, it's a gift. And it took me 38 years, and this, you know, I got out last year after doing a 7.5-year bit. That really changed me more as I'm more humble and grateful for what God has given me. Even though I've backtracked, had a few minor setbacks, but I pulled through because this opportunity of sitting down just for the 28 days I did for parole violation just cleaned me all the way up. I wasn't strung out, but Suboxone wasn't where it was at. I was kept trying to fill a hole, and that hole was just emptier than emptier. And it was just time to let it all go. I mean, I could sit here and probably cry to you right now because I'm finally feeling cleansed, but I still need to find my footsteps on some other things.
Of course. So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think you've led me to believe over the past couple of meetings and all, you're short time, yes?
Next week, God willing, I'll be home back with my family and opportunity. I'm walking out here with no papers, no nothing. Just an opportunity to go ahead and keep moving that forward in them footsteps, as I just recently explained. So,
does going home mean back to Texas? Is that what home is now, or what's home look like?
Pinville, Indiana.
All right,
just right down the road.
Different,
you know,
than Texas, but yeah,
it's small town life, you know, and I don't really know anybody, so, and I don't know anybody, and it's just greater that way. I just like being to myself and the few that I do have. You know, that's a loving spot that I didn't have, and that's why I say things are much more humble for me now.
Yeah. Okay. Understand, we've got a recovery meeting in Dunkirk, got one in Red Key, got one in Portland.
Yes, sir.
Love to have one in Pinville. Maybe we can talk about that sometime.
Hey, I'm open to it.
Get you involved with that.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right? But no, we'll be there to continue to help, and we'll continue to connect. What did the darkest spot in your battle, that low spot, that low of lows, look like to you, James? How did that play out?
I mean, I can be honest. For the most part, I don't think I really hit the low spot. I just realized that this low spot was near, you know, like a plateau. Like it was either end it now or keep going, and it's just going to keep wrecking like a wrecking ball. And come when I got 7.5 in Wayne County, it turned a lot around. Like I couldn't blame the person that told on me. The only thing I could do is blame myself for giving the opportunity to somebody to do that to me. I was foolish. I was still naive. Yeah, I still got some naive, you know. I'm still learning myself. I'm still learning that not everything has to end in bad.
Yeah.
You know, there's opportunities without the negative.
The flip side of that coin, what was a lights on moment? When did that come that says James can do better than this? James can be who James wants to be.
When I signed that plea bargain was a big change. Seeing the tears in my mama's eyes, but seeing the faith that judge had in me, knowing that I already knew that people, places, and things change everything, that opened the door for me. Seeing that somebody from the other side could speak for me through a vision that I didn't see, you know, that they actually was yet proud of something, you know, something I was missing, and proudness from a lot of people around me.
So this judge, he gave you that look and evidently the words that helped you to believe in yourself. If somebody like him believes in me, then I can believe in myself. Is that accurate?
Very accurate. Nail on the head.
Okay. If you could talk to him right now, what would you say?
He did the greatest thing for me. I was looking at 23 years. You know, I was just turning 30. I'm 38, like I said, now. And a lot of things then wasn't what it is now. I took a lot of things for granted, but I wanted to thank him. Thank him very much for the sentence. Even though it took a lot to accept my wrongs and actually admit it to myself, not others. I had to admit it to myself. Like, I really had to sit down and be understanding of the blame game.
Yeah.
It's part of the addiction as well. You know, I blamed everything for everything and not gave myself that opportunity to understand. It was me. It starts with me. It don't start with others. It starts with me.
Yeah, yeah. What kind of disciplines do you have employed that's going to keep you above the stinking thinking and returning to where you were?
There's no looking back. I'm not looking back. My discipline's already set in motion. And once I get something in my head, my girl can tell you, once I get something in my head, I'm there. If I'm going to fully commit myself, I'm fully committed to myself more than I was in my younger age. So now the aspect of it is, how committed or how bad do you want it?
So, bullet points, what does your recovery look like? What's going to be three or four steps? And they don't have to be consecutive. Three or four bullet points that'll help you maintain recovery.
Actually, there's, you know, this might sound oddball, but I don't even think I have them bullet points anymore because I'm that confident. I've actually let go of things a little more that were them steps. So I can't pinpoint. I can only tell you now that the end of that rope is here, and it's no longer needed. Like groups, I tried doing that, counseling, therapists, all within the last year and a half. And I slowly let go of them knowing that, you know, that hole doesn't need to be filled no more. The love of my life is really set that boundary for me. How much do I love my life, who I'm with? My family, seeing my family the way it is still, you know, it still needs a lot of mending. But I feel like I'm that one that could probably mend a lot more. So that's like, that's more encouraging than just looking for a step to need to block myself from continuing using.
Okay.
Like, I let go of the groups, I let go of the Suboxone, so now it's time fully effect to just watch the walk.
You made a comment about the love of your life. You mean that literally, yes?
Yes.
That's not a somebody or something.
No,
that is literally the love of James' life.
I had to put the death of the old me to love the new me, you know.
That's scriptural. God does that. Creates a new individual, and that's what it takes. If you're going to be the old you, you're going to behave in the old ways. And you've seen where that's gotten you.
Yes.
What is a dream for the future, James? Regardless of how unfathomable it may be, what is a dream that you hope to accomplish?
I just want to be a simple man. I want that simple life, that white picket fence, a house, a vehicle, dog in the yard, and back with my kids. The love of my life's already here. It's me and Betty Jean. It's just pushing forward, and I'm not going to give up on this opportunity. You only get it once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
You got to run with it. You can't look back.
And you got to do the work it takes to get you there.
You got to get it to the man above.
There you go. There you go, and then you've got to build that picket fence. He may send you the wood, but I'll bet he's not going to come to the yard and build it.
It's all right. I'll build it, and she'll paint it. How about that?
That'll work.
And we'll just praise him for it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, and that's what it takes anywhere. What is advice you would want to give to someone who's struggling the same you were, who's been through similar experiences?
You have to be committed. You should take a step back and look in the mirror first, because I had to take a step back and look in the mirror. Don't just look at all the bad. Look at the good and the bad. I look at both sides of the fence of everything, because there's always two sides to the story, correct?
Yep.
So with my good and my bad. But you have to take a step back and know your worth. Like, it takes a lot to know your worth when you're an addict. because you're steady firing, whether you shoot it, snort it, smoke it, it's raw, it's serious. Every day you take a step back of who you are, and you don't realize you're not accepting what's going to come forward out of that, because that's the big step. You got to overcome that. You know, and just look at yourself and be grateful and thankful. God gave you a life. God gave me a chance. There's a lot of people out there that we do know that I know for sure that has passed. I literally OD'd 32 times in 1 month. So,
In 1 month?
Yes, sir. I was dead for 45 minutes. You know, that's part of me I really don't like showing, because it's a shame. But at the same, it was opportunity that I'm here still for a reason, obviously.
No,
I can't
doubt.
I can't speak any more or less, you know. And the girl that was there with me at the time just kept handing it to me, you know. I was sidetracking on the fact of everything that she was already on, whether or not that was going to do the same for me as it was going to do for her. And it took me the last prison sentence to really sit down and go, you know, the whole time she was on all this, and every time she handed it to me, it was okay for her, but it would kill me. I didn't see that. I was too busy on that ride. That ride was just uncontrollable, and it was horrible. And now that I look back at it, I mean, like, God's given me, I got more than 9 lives. I know plenty of people that could tell you right now about Gabo. He's got more than 9 lives, and I don't want no more. I just want this one.
Yeah.
I want this one and this opportunity, because
make it the best you can, right? Or the best it's supposed to be.
I'm not perfect. I still got some minor flaws and setbacks, but I know one thing. If you're out there right now and you're still using, you need to take a step back and look at yourself and be grateful that you're alive. No matter if you're still using, it's a step to be thankful.
It's that need to appreciate what you got for you, and can't expect to get more. That scripture, the word talks about how God trusts us with a little and then gives us more, so we can grow in that.
There's always more.
Yes.
You can always be that flower that pushes through that rock.
Yep. Yep. And that's what it takes, and that continued effort along with all of that. What is it you want the world to know about James Gabo? We start off with your heritage. Go ahead, give them a line that says, please know this about me. Recognize, realize, whatever.
You can always overcome anything if you're willing to, you know, and be as good as you can be. And, you know, I always like to say this, and it's a little awkward, but it's just like, they do what they want, but I can do what I can. You know what I'm saying? Because the things that they want to do ain't going to be the things that I can do. So,
exactly.
Like, I'm a individual of, I call myself the last of the dying breed, because, you know, it's, you know, my father's passed and everything, but, you know, opportunity to be humble only comes in a lifetime when you realize it. Like I said, my life was not just a choice, it was a gift. And I'm more hungry for life now. So if anything you remember about it, James Gabo is hungry for life. Here I come. No more hell on wheels. I'm full throttle for life. There's only one opportunity. No matter if it's been 10 in a row that you get an opportunity, it takes that one. And I'm thankful for this one chance.
So many times I've felt that with some lives, if they'd stayed in the battle for one more corner, one more prayer, one more struggle, the victory was waiting, but they gave up too soon. And it sounds to me like you're going to refuse to give up.
I'm not a quitter.
I'm
thankful.
And so we trust that that is what sees you through, that's what pulls you through, and that's what allows others to get the encouragement they need to get through as well.
It's always good to have a foundation to get through that encouragement, and a lot of times I didn't feel that foundation was there. The foundation ain't just your family. It's the Lord above. You know, I'm not no holy roller, but I do believe you give an opportunity, you'll open up, and you'll see salvation is there.
Absolutely. I have no problem with that thought, okay? Give us one moment of faith that's seen you through and you've been able to see God in it.
There's a lot. But that one time that I died for 45 minutes, you know, when I woke up cold, shaking, and my brother was there, my mother's there, but my girl at the time was nowhere near. And that doctor walked in and said, he's basically dead to us, and shook my hand, and I'm like, why would you say something like that? That was an open opportunity of faith that I blindsided because I was too far into my addiction. But I was more mad that they let me live. But then now I think about it, you know, I may not know that purpose, but that purpose is somewhere there, and I'm still fighting for it. Regardless, anybody can say anything they want about me, but at the end of the day, they don't know me as well as the man above. So
amen.
I'm going to be thankful.
Yes, and I am thankful for that because, quite frankly, I don't need your forgiveness. It matters, but I don't care how well you know me. That's God and I working that out.
Not only that, that's the old me they might know.
Yeah.
They don't know the new me. They ain't been around me. And, of course, I'm not a show-and-tell person. So if you know me, you'll be lucky to see the humble side has came through. And you know, a lot of people are grateful for that. Even my family knows I've changed.
Yeah. So,
and
yeah,
that's a blessing because I didn't think they'd ever think I'd change.
Well, when we're blessed, I believe we're only blessed for one reason, and that's to be a blessing to others. Whether it's financial blessing, an emotional blessing, whether it's relational, physical, that it's meant to be shared with others. And you've shared that blessing here today.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything you want to close with before we get ready to wrap this up, James?
This ain't the end of it. That's all I can say. I got one more puzzle piece in, and I'll be done. I got one more puzzle piece where I'll feel my wholeness. So I'm fighting on that.
All right. Well, as I understand, you're going to be back in Pennville soon. I'm 11 miles from you in Red Key. So make sure we're able to make a connection at times.
Yes, sir. I'm going to bring my other half to you.
I'll buy lunch. All right.
All right.
It's on me at the I Don't Care there in Pennville. Okay.
All right. Now.
All right. Be blessed. Thank you for your time, your willingness to share, your rawness. It's been a good thing. Look forward to seeing you again.
Well, God
on
bless
the
you.
Outside.
All right.
Amen.
You have a good one now.
You
Thank
bet. You. Stay in the battle.
You too.